Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Kiss to Defy by Anna B. Doe, narrated by Jennifer Aquino and Sean Crisden. Chapter 1. Ray. It has to be here somewhere. I look left and right as I drive slowly through the college campus, searching for my dorm. For a relatively small university, Blairwood feels like a maze which would be so easy to get lost in. My head is bobbing to the tune of the newest Demi Lovato song as I reach blindly for my coffee, the only thing that's been keeping me awake since I landed in Boston, only to pack my things and drive to Blairwood straight after. But since my attention is on the road, instead of wrapping my fingers around the cup, I somehow manage to bump it, spilling the contents all over the console, myself, and the floor. Shit! I lean to the side to straighten the cup and salvage what little's left inside. But when I look up, I see a guy in front of me. He turns his head toward me, our eyes meeting for a split second. I suck in a breath and press the brake. My heart is beating a mile a minute, the pounding echoing in my ears as the car comes to an abrupt halt, making my body jolt forward. Holy shit! I almost killed somebody! My hands grip the steering wheel tightly as I try to force my breathing to calm down and keep the panic at bay. My right hand is sticky from the coffee, but I'm too stupefied to care. I almost hit somebody. I think I'm going to be sick. I lean forward, my forehead pressing against the steering wheel. Get a grip, Ray. I inhale deeply, counting to three, before I release the breath slowly. I repeat the process two more times until the ringing in my ears dies down. Unbuckling my seatbelt, I get out of the car. Hey, are you freaking insane? The guy pushes from the hood of my car and glares at me. He's tall, well over 6 feet, which means he's more than a foot taller than my 5 feet, his shadow falling over me. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. Run me over. He finishes before I can. He folds his hands across his broad chest, an ink-covered bicep bulging beneath his black tee. Well, no. I tuck a strand of hair behind my ear. I don't make a habit of running people over. His brows rise. But you have a habit of texting and driving? He looks at my brand new Mercedes, muttering something that sounds pretty close to spoiled rich girl to himself, before he returns his attention to me. His green eyes, a complete contrast with his dark brown skin, take me in from head to toe. They're so bright, they leave me breathless. I don't think I've ever seen such a light shade on a black person before, but they fit him so well, like two bright gems illuminating the night sky. He's gorgeous. Or he would be if only he wasn't frowning at me. I can feel my cheeks heat under his judging gaze. I wasn't texting, I protest, propping my hand on my hip. I was reaching for my coffee, but I spilled it, and while I tried to take care of the mess, you just showed up out of nowhere. I look out at the street. I don't see a crosswalk anywhere near here either. I raise my brow at him in challenge. If he can be a dick about this, so can I. His eyes narrow slightly. Didn't they teach you to watch where you're driving? Didn't they teach you not to be a dick? Deep breaths, Ray. I tried apologizing, but you didn't even let me finish. You could have killed me. Well, maybe you should have thought about that before crossing the road where there isn't a crosswalk. Well, maybe you should have actually watched the road instead of acting like the road is your coffee shop. He shakes his head. Seriously, just what we need. Another rich girl thinking the world owes her shit. World owes me shit? What the hell is your problem? I jab my finger into his chest. I didn't hit you. I stopped to check if you were okay, not that you actually let me finish before attacking me. Whatever. He lifts his hands in the air, taking a step back. I don't have time for this shit. He turns around and starts walking away. Try not to kill somebody else, Pixie.
Ugh!
I stomp my foot, staring daggers at his retreating back. The asshole doesn't even bother to look before crossing the road. And then I'm at fault here? Turning on the balls of my feet, I storm back into the car. Seriously, if this is the start of my year, maybe I should just turn around and get the hell out of here while I still have a chance.
You're not turning around, I mutter as I restart the car and carefully continue on my way.
You wanted this for too long. No bright-eyed, dark-skinned giant will stand in your way.
I pay more attention this time around, but no other presumptuous man-mountain comes at me. Thank God.
It takes me 10 minutes and turning around the block twice before I realize which dorm's mine. Just as I'm taking the turn to the parking lot, my phone rings, the first beats of Taylor Swift's newest song filling the inside of the car. I glance quickly at the phone holder before pressing the button on my steering wheel to answer the call.
Hey, Daddy!
Hey, Squirt. How's it going? Did you get there?
I chuckle lightly at the familiar nickname.
Just about to park.
You shouldn't be talking while driving.
He reprimands me just as I see one available spot and turn on my blinker, checking that nobody's around before parking the car in the open space.
You're the one who called me,
I remind him. What's with men telling me how to drive? Like, seriously? I double-check that I'm properly parked before killing the engine. I grab my phone, turn off the speaker, and bring it to my ear, unbuckling my seatbelt.
Besides, I told you I'd call you once I got here. Also, I'm being responsible and using the Bluetooth connection.
Not once in my life have I texted while driving. I know better than that. Dad sighs on the other side of the line, and I can imagine him removing his glasses and pinching the bridge of his nose as he so often does.
I just worry about you, that's all.
I know.
I rub the back of my neck, feeling the tension building in my muscles.
Wait, isn't it like the middle of the night over there?
Dad works for a tech company, and he's currently in Japan for business. He couldn't say no since he's working on a project that's a pretty big deal. The only reason he couldn't be here for my, albeit, late move-in day for college.
It is, but I had to get up early for a meeting with the main office on the East Coast.
I can hear some papers shuffling in the background.
But enough about me. How is it over there?
Good. I actually didn't get to see much since I just arrived. I only stopped by the administrative office to get my student ID, the key to my dorm room and such.
I talked with the lady in the admin office, and she helped me schedule my rink time for this semester. There shouldn't be any conflicts since the only people who use the rink are Blair Woods' hockey team and a local amateur team, I say as casually as possible, although I don't feel casual at all. Dad wasn't the happiest when I told him about my decision to apply to college this year. He wanted me to concentrate on my career as a professional skater, but I've done that for as long as I can remember. I've been homeschooled for most of my life, so I could keep up with the rigorous year-long skating season. And while I love skating, lately a part of me has felt like I've been missing something too. I wanted to figure it out. Figure me out. We've been discussing college for the better part of the last year. Dad tried to reason with me, but when I set my mind on something, there isn't much anybody can do. He, better than most, knows that. He insists it's Mom's stubbornness, but we both know it's really his no-nonsense business attitude that I inherited. In the end, we've compromised. I've agreed to take only half of the regular course load and have one semester to show him I can do both college and skating. There is a lot riding on these next few months, and I'm not about to screw it up.
You almost did, and you've barely even gotten to campus,
a little voice reminds me. Well, that wasn't all my fault. Besides, what he doesn't know won't hurt him.
That's good. Did you talk to Alexei?
He should come later this week, I confirm.
Good.
In my mind, I can see him nodding his head.
That's good. I hope...
A buzzing sound from the background interrupts him. Dad sighs.
I'm sorry, honey. I've got to take this. Work is calling. Talk soon?
Sure thing, Dad. I open the door and get out. Good luck on your meeting.
Thanks. Talk soon, Ray.
We say our goodbyes and hang up. Sighing, I look around and give myself a moment to take in the campus. The place is buzzing with activity as the students mingle around, some catching up with their friends, some carrying their bags and boxes. Apparently, I'm not the only one who has yet to move in. Walking around my red Mercedes, a gift from my dad for winning my first senior national championship, back-to-back with doing it as a junior skater the year before, I pop open the trunk and look at two big suitcases, two duffel bags, a rolled-up mattress, and a few boxes, all my life reduced to the contents of my trunk. This will be so much fun, I mutter to myself, pulling out one of the suitcases and putting it on the ground. According to the info I got in the admin office, I was assigned a room on the fourth floor in a building with no elevators. I turn around and face my dorm, my home for the foreseeable future. On the outside, the building is made of red brick, with wide stone stairs leading the way to the entrance. You can do this, Ray, I say to myself, taking a deep breath in. My fingers curl around the handle of my suitcase. Pulling it to the building is the easy part. Getting it up the stairs to the doors? Not so much. I should have probably texted my new roommates with more info, but between the competition, getting home, packing and driving here, it's been a crazy few days. I'm huffing and puffing so much, you'd think I'd never exercised a day in my life, and I'll probably suffer a heart attack. But the damn thing is so heavy. Hold the door! I yell as I catch a glimpse of two girls on top of the stairs, ready to enter the building. They turn at the sound of my voice, looking at me with interest.
Need some help?
The redhead asks. She's tall, and not just in the way that almost everybody's taller than my 5 foot height, but actually tall. She's probably around 5'10". Her dark auburn hair is pulled into a high ponytail, and she's wearing one of those off-the-shoulder t-shirts and a pair of cut-off jeans with flip-flops. I narrow my eyes at her.
Hey, are you... Ray?
The two girls exchange a look, matching expressions on their faces.
Ray Mitchell Nagasaki?
That would be me.
You must be Grace and Jade.
What are the odds?
The brunette chuckles. Jade, the redhead, is Grace. Jade's a few inches shorter than Grace. Her dark brown hair is falling down her back, a heavy coat of black eyeliner surrounding her striking blue eyes. She's dressed in a pair of jeans so ripped, I'm surprised they're still hanging on to her narrow hips, and a tight black top. When we got our room assignments, I emailed them and found them online. We chatted a bit, and they seemed nice. I worried a little when I found out they were already friends, but they seemed welcoming, which I appreciated. The last thing I want is to feel like a third wheel this whole year.
Right?
My arm muscles burn from the weight of my suitcase, reminding me I should either get on my way or put the fucker down and take a break. The other option sounds more appealing by the second.
Damn, this is heavy.
I push over the last few steps, barely, and let the suitcase fall on the ground. My hands ache as blood starts running through my numb fingers.
Maybe you should have tried with a smaller suitcase?
Jade suggests with a raised brow. I look down at the suitcase and can see her point. The thing is almost as big as me.
I thought about it, I admit,
working my fingers to chase away the little tingles running under my skin. But then I realize that if I don't get the big one out of the way first, there is no way I'd ever get back down for it. Living out of the car sure has its advantages, don't you think? At that, they both burst into laughter, and I joined them.
That, my friend,
Jade points her finger at me,
is why you need to hire backup.
Backup? Grace shoves her friend away lightly.
Not everybody has an older brother in college who has a bunch of hunky football friends to carry their stuff around, Jade.
Jade pushes her friend right back.
I didn't hear you complain. Besides, it wasn't a bunch,
just a few of his closest friends, and they're not all football players.
I watch in fascination as the two of them interact. Although I've been surrounded by girls my whole life, I don't remember the last time when I had a genuine friend, probably when I was in kindergarten. Figure skating is a highly competitive sport, and the higher you climb, the more ruthless it becomes. There is a lot of bullying and some seriously messed up shit happening behind the scenes more often than not, so I always try my best to keep my head down and concentrate on skating.
Tomato, tomato.
Grace rolls her eyes. They're vivid green surrounded by long dark lashes, the only trace of makeup on her face, and turns her attention back to me.
Why didn't you tell us you were coming? We'd have waited for you and helped you out.
Sorry, it's been a crazy few weeks. I run my hand through my hair. I just got home from my competition last night, and as soon as I got up today, I hopped in the car and drove here. I just got to campus a few minutes ago.
I look down at my still sticky hand.
Damn, and now I'll have to wash my hair.
Grace looks at my hand.
What happened?
Okay, so you won't believe my luck, but I'm driving through campus, trying to find the dorm, when I reach for my coffee and bump the cup over, spilling it everywhere. And just as I'm trying to salvage the situation, this guy runs into the road, and I almost hit him.
Jade's eyes bug out. You're joking.
I'm afraid not.
What the hell did you do?
I barely managed to stop. I'm panicking my ass off in the car, trying to calm myself down to get out and check if he's okay. And when I do, he rips into me like it's just my fault. Like, fine, I didn't pay enough attention, but nobody made you run in front of the car.
What an asshole.
I shake my head, remembering the whole thing. Seriously, I just hope I don't have to see him again. Just then, a group of girls comes out the door, so we have to move to let them pass.
I guess that's the sign we should get moving, huh?
I wrap my fingers around the handle of my suitcase, just as Grace does the same.
Come on, let me get that one, and you guys can pick up the rest.
I stop and look up at her.
Are you sure?
Grace chuckles.
I think I can handle it.
Still unsure if I should take her up on her offer, I say, that thing's really heavy.
I'll manage it.
Jade puts her hands on my shoulders and pushes me down the stairs.
Let's get the rest of your things and give Grace a head start. We'll get you settled in no time, and then we can erase what happened from your mind.
I can 100% agree on that.
Are you two high school friends?
I ask as we descend the stairs and cross the street to where I parked my car. I just peeked at their Instagram profiles and saw some of the newest posts they made over the summer. In almost all of them, they were together in New York.
We can only wish. We actually only met this past summer through a mutual friend.
I unlock my car and open up the trunk before giving her a side glance.
Seriously? You guys seem so close.
Jade pulls out a suitcase and a backpack, so I grab my two duffels.
We just kind of clicked, I guess.
Jade shrugs as she waits for me to close the trunk and lock the door before we proceed back toward the dorm.
My brother is dating her best friend.
Oh, that's sweet.
We climb the steps, this time faster, and enter the building. Jade waves at the girl sitting at the front desk, but doesn't bother to stop, instead leading the way toward the staircase.
Not if you have to spend months watching them suck face all the time, she says,
but the affection for her brother and his girlfriend is clear in her voice.
We ditched their asses and spent time together instead, and here we are.
I shake my head. Seriously, what are the chances you'd both end up here?
It was pure coincidence, but we did request to share a dorm room. It just made sense, you know?
Yeah, I nod. It does. If I were them and knew somebody who was coming to college with me and we were getting along, I'd prefer to room with them. Fewer chances of things being weird.
We missed you this past week, though.
Jade glances at me.
Grace wants to finish setting up the room. That girl has OCD, I'm telling you. but she didn't want to pick something that you might not like.
I'm not sure if she's serious or if she's only trying to make me feel more welcome, but either way, it works.
I'm fine with whatever, really. After staying in all those hotel rooms, they all kind of blend together, and you don't really notice those kinds of things any longer.
A lot of competitions this year?
I told them a little about ice skating when we texted, since I had to have an explanation for not showing up to orientation week with the rest of the freshmen.
Yeah, figure skating season is long,
to put it mildly.
That's why I'm taking just a few classes. I'm trying to find a way to balance college and being an athlete.
Figure skating season lasts all year long. There are regional, state, and world championships, just to name the few most important ones, and the ones that I've decided to concentrate on this year to prepare for Winter Games qualifications.
Girl, I don't get why you're taking any at all.
Jade shakes her head.
Pro athlete and a student. The next time my brother complains, I'll give him shit for days.
You're welcome, I guess?
I chuckle.
For real. He's always mo.
Oh my God, you cheater!
Jade yells. I look up and see we finally caught up to Grace on the final landing. She's casually chatting with a tall guy who's carrying my suitcase up the stairs. Grace turns around, an innocent smile on her lips.
I didn't realize there were rules. Besides, I learned from the best.
Jade grins at her.
That you did.
Grace rolls her eyes at her friend before turning to me. Is girlmance a thing?
If it is, Jade and Grace are the definition of it. And I'm slightly, okay, a lot, jealous.
Ray, this is Marcus. He's on the third floor. But he was nice enough to offer to carry your suitcase up.
Marcus looks over his shoulder, his light eyes taking me in from head to toe.
Well, hello there.
A grin flashes over his face, showing off his commercial-worthy smile. He's cute, I have to give him that. With golden brown hair, long lashes, and a killer smile, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a model or something. He's a few inches taller than Grace, and his shoulders are wide, body lean.
Hey!
I smile back. It's impossible not to.
Sorry for putting you to work.
No problem. It's always a pleasure to help a beautiful lady.
Marcus's grin widens, and then he winks at me. I know he's teasing. Well, at least I think he is, but my cheeks flush regardless.
Don't flirt with our new friend, Marcus.
Grace pinches his side.
Just ignore him. He's a shameless flirt.
What? Why?
Marcus places his hand over his heart dramatically.
Is that how you repay somebody for helping you?
You know why. We've gotten to know you quite well in the last few days.
Marcus shakes his head.
I don't know what you're talking about. Of course you don't,
Jade says, patting him on the shoulder. We joke around as we climb the final steps to the fourth floor. Even though I'm in peak condition, I'm slightly winded from walking four flights of stairs with two heavy duffels. Sweat coats my body, making my shirt cling to my skin. Puffing out a breath, I look at the doors, some open, some closed, my eyes scanning the numbers on the hard wooden surface.
This is us,
Grace says over her shoulder as she gets out her keys and unlocks the door for us to enter.
Fourth and fifth floors are actually suites with three bedrooms, a common area, and bathroom.
It's a sweeter deal than having one roommate and having to share a community bathroom,
Jade adds from behind me. I take in the space. It's pretty basic, with two sofas, a little coffee table, and an entertainment center. A plaid gray and white rug separates the living room from a counter against the wall, a coffee machine on top of it. Two sets of doors are on one side of the living space, two on the other.
We claim the rooms on this side, so that one's yours. Hope that's okay.
Of course. I smile at Grace and go to check out my room. Like the rest of the suite, it's pretty basic. A bed is shoved against the wall on one side of the room, desk and wardrobe on the other. The space is tiny. So tiny, my yoga mat will barely fit in between. But like Jade said, at least I have my own space.
You ladies need any more help?
Marcus asks as he puts my suitcase down by the door. I let the duffels drop to the floor.
Oh, no, there's just a few...
keys,
Jade interrupts me. She extends her hand and wiggles her fingers in a gimme motion.
What?
Keys.
Jade turns to her friends.
There's a mattress and a few more boxes in the car. We can bring them up while you settle in.
You don't have to do that, I protest. I can grab it later.
Grace shakes her head.
Nonsense. Let us help you. It'll be faster that way.
Besides, we'll probably put Marcus to work.
Jade winks at me.
He can do all the heavy lifting.
Marcus groans, but based on the smile on his face, he doesn't mind.
You hear that? Apparently, I'm going to do all the heavy lifting.
If you feel guilty about it, you can always treat us to beer later.
Fine. I pull my keychain out of my pocket and take off the car key before giving it to Jade.
Thanks, guys. No thanks needed.
Grace gives me a pat on the shoulder as they turn toward the door.
You start unpacking, and later we'll show you around.
I watch them go back toward the staircase, talking like they've known each other for years. The doors across the living room catch my attention. This is just the first day, and while it didn't start in the best way, I have a feeling it'll be a good year. Chapter 2. Ray.
Look who finally decided to show up.
Marcus grins as soon as he spots us trying to get through the crowd of people that have gathered at Moore's. The girls weren't joking when they said almost everybody will be out celebrating tonight. The place is packed, with almost no room to breathe. As they told me, the sports bar is somewhat of a local student hangout, with dark bars, a mix of high-top tables, and big booths at the back. Huge screens on the walls above the bars, playing any game that's current. And Blairwood memorabilia plastered on the walls.
The roads were busy,
Jade comments as we slide next to the table where Marcus is sitting with two other guys who give us appreciative looks.
It's insane tonight,
Marcus agrees, looking around the bar.
I guess everybody wants one last beer to drink in complete peace.
Marcus turns toward me with a grin, and I roll my eyes, but smile back. Real subtle. I guess that's my cue.
Ah, don't get mad, short stuff.
Marcus throws his arm around my shoulders and pulls me in for a hug.
I can buy the first round.
Oh, no, you don't.
I shake my head. I pay my own way, big guy. He laughs.
Noted. Let's introduce you first, and then I'll flag down the server. Guys.
Marcus turns us toward his friends.
You remember Jade and Grace from orientation? And this little thing is their new roommate, Ray. Ray, this is James and Franco.
They both nod in my direction by way of greeting. James is almost as tall as Marcus, only beefier. His skin is bronze, his dark hair cut short, and a pair of metal frames is propped on his nose. Franco, on the other hand, is a bit shorter and leaner. His skin is pale, a dusting of freckles covering the bridge of his nose. And he has curly reddish-brown hair that looks like lightning has just struck him.
Nice to meet you.
They return the greeting with a smile. Jade and Grace move closer to the table. At least it's a high-top one, so we can just lean against it, because finding an available chair is next to impossible. They all start chatting instantly about something that happened during orientation week, and I listen in, trying to follow. A server passes by us, and Marcus stops her and places another order. She nods in understanding before getting lost in the crowd once again.
How come we didn't see you at orientation, Ray?
At the sound of my name, my head snaps up, and I turn my attention to the group.
I had a competition that I had to attend, and it was during orientation week.
What kind of competition?
James asks.
Ray is a figure skater,
Jade turns to me.
Which makes me realize that I've never watched figure skating, not live or on TV.
It's definitely not as popular as some other sports here.
Guilty as charged. With Nixon playing football,
sample complete. Ready to continue?